Hello, and welcome to day 7 of the World Cup Minute. My name's Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great, Josh. We're just like in full World Cup whirlwind right now. We're I feel like the World Cup Minute's hitting a groove.
And I agree.
And I don't know, is the World Cup kind of hitting a groove? What does a groove mean for the World Cup? I feel like the theme of day 7, apart from Tunisia-Australia, which was a killing field of predictions, the favored team kind of won in expected fashion. Poland beating Saudi Arabia, I think if you... Maybe that's a Eurocentric point of view that you think Poland is the favorite there. France winning and Argentina winning. But I feel like it was this was a normal day. This was a normal service resuming sort of a day for the World Cup.
Yeah, and I am wearing my Spurs scarf in tribute to Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, and I suppose Christian Eriksen too, another ex-Spurs player. Feels so long ago now when he was there, but... I think you're right. I think in some ways it's useful to have some normal days too. It makes the upsets that much better. As we talked about this earlier in the week, but if you have too many upsets, it kind of undermines the entire idea of an upset. If they're just sort of happening all the time, they don't seem super significant. So in general, I think the theme of today was this, the sort of the current superstars reasserting themselves. I mean, Messi did score in the opening match with Saudi Arabia, but that was a losing contest. So I feel like, and it was also a pen. And I think the goal he took today was sort of...
We don't recognize pens on this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. It's a different XG. It's a whole different ball of wax. But Messi scoring the pen today from outside the box, you know, took it so quickly that it was kind of hard for Ochoa to adjust. Just sort of snapshot from whatever that ended up being 30 yards away. Or something.
Yeah, one of those shots where you might call that a worm burner where I'm from. A shot that's just like setting fire to all the worms crawling across the surface of the ground. But you know, you hit them true, you hit them right, even if they're worm burners, they're going in.
It's a great strike. And then they get another, the second goal was great too. It was one of those great goals that's fun to watch in slow motion because it was just over the outstretched hands of the keeper. No. Those are always fun.
I love the replays on those goals, the far corner goals, because you just watch the shape of the striker's foot. And it's always... see that the contact being made with the ball in slow motion is always so remarkable to see how like the foot has to be loose enough but rigid enough to accept the physics relationship with the ball but also bend it to its will. Incredible stuff. Great goal. Love that goal.
Great goal. And Messi, and then we have Mbappe score brace today. Mbappe also scored, I think he's in 4 goals so far. I think he scored 2 in their opening match as well.
And the first thigh goal of the World Cup, which you love to see. Yeah. What were the Vegas odds on goal scored off quadricep?
Can he leave PSG already? It's so annoying that he plays in a league that is just not competitive, and so we just don't really ever see any of their matches. PSG just walks it practically every year, and so that league is just not full of very compelling matches almost ever, right? They didn't even really have any rivals. The Monaco thing was fun for a while, and they sort of faded, and you know, Lyon I think won a couple of years ago, but in general, he's just sort of buried there until they play a handful of Champions League matches, and even then, there's only a handful of those handful that really matter, right? Because usually the second or third matches in their group stage are relevant because they've already clinched the group. So I would like to see more of Mbappe, even if it ends up being on a Real Madrid or something like that. It would just be nice to see him play somewhere where the matches are consistently on TV and the stakes are real. Yeah. Because he's such a brilliant player, and I don't know. So anyway, he's great, as we all know. Messi, then Lewandowski finally gets his first World Cup goal. A nice goal too, dispossessing the central defender.
Befitting Poland and their historic workmanlike qualities. But that was a wonderful goal, just because of what it means to Lewandowski. But to see his reaction, see a guy who has done everything, he's accomplished virtually everything, certainly in his club career, and to see that certain things in football still mean something. Obviously, the World Cup is the pinnacle But yeah, for him to get that goal and to really just kind of break down and show his human side was really fun to watch.
Yeah. I agree. And that group is just, you know, going to the final match, it's really wide open, right? You have Saudi Arabia on three, Argentina on three, Poland on three, and Mexico on one. So kind of anyone could still win this group, which is pretty exciting. Mexico, I didn't even think they looked that bad today, but it's exactly what we spoke about yesterday. It's the problem that the U.S. has, the problem that Mexico has, which is that there's just a real lack of kind of strength up front. Yeah. And it was, you know, Raul Jimenez came on late, but unfortunately Raul Jimenez's career has been completely derailed by that head injury. He's also getting older. There are other things beyond just the head injuries. I mean, an early 30s striker is not that is. That, I feel like that's a position where you can kind of age into it a little bit, especially if you can do some other things, right? Obviously, we've seen Giroud do this both for AC Milan and in the World Cup. And I think that Jimenez is a really brilliant player. He's not just a kind of get his head on a ball in the box, right? Mm-hmm. He can do a lot of different things well. But because after that head injury in the Arsenal match, he's just really never been able to recover, unfortunately. And so he comes on late, doesn't really make any kind of difference. And so Argentina now, Argentina Poland is really an interesting match now. And Poland, I mean, in some way, Lewandowski gets the goal, but it was also the Wojciech Szczesny game, right? Mm-hmm. He was, did I say Wojciech correctly? I'll never know. But
I mean, yeah, I'm not sure you said Lewandowski correctly, but we can move on from that.
Right. Yeah, who cares? They're not listening. But you know, he makes the penalty save, makes a couple other good saves in that match as well.
He was incredible. And the penalty save was, I feel like it's rare that you see a juke on a penalty save. Like Szczesny goes one way and jukes one way and goes the other way. And I couldn't quite tell if he was reacting to what he was seeing the striker do or if that was just what he planned. But then,
because you got to be careful not to get off your line, right? So it's a tricky thing.
So and to follow it up with that the double save, which ultimately people think I it was suggested it was moot, the double save Szczesny made on that pen, because the guy who came in to follow up was actually inside the box as the pen was taken, so it probably would have been ruled out anyway. But it's splitting hairs.
Szczesny
did have an incredible match.
Yeah, and that team really has a lot. I mean, Lewandowski.
Just go with what? Go with your gut, Josh. Nobody.
Go with my gut. Exactly. You got my head a little bit there. Lewandowski alone certainly could win that match for Poland when they play Argentina. There's absolutely no guarantee, in my opinion, that Argentina is going to win that match. In which case, it could be set up in a really interesting way. If Mexico beats Saudi Arabia, they'd be on four. If Poland beats Argentina, they'd be on six, and Argentina would be out of the tournament. There's obviously more permutations there as well. If that match is a draw, then I think Poland would be on what, 5 points? In which case they would go through. If Poland lose that match, then I think it would probably come down to goal difference, right, between them and Mexico. It depends on what Mexico would do in that Saudi Arabia. But Mexico has to win that match, which is certainly not any kind of guarantee. In Saudi Arabia, I thought even in this match they looked pretty good. In the Poland match, they certainly didn't seem like that Argentina result was a fluke. So those games are really going to be fun. Those will be played. I think they'll be next Wednesday is when those final group stage matches will be played.
Group C, chaos. C stands for chaotic.
Yeah, bring in the fun. And then that brings us to Group D. Group D, you have France, Denmark, and Mbappe. We talked about him already. I was hoping for a point here. We have some. I have a Danish friend that I she is really into the Danish Dynamite, and I've sort of adopted them as a second team just for the fun of it. And when they get the equalizer, it's a kind of fun equalizer too. Andreas Christensen, sort of, he's a fantasy anti-legend for anyone who plays fantasy.
The 59th minute hero, not anti-hero, where he was perennially getting little knocks that caused him to get substituted right before the 60th minute when the additional time played point for fantasy kicks in.
Yeah. So he gets a nice goal, though. It was sort of a, I guess it was a, it was an Eriksen corner, but I don't think he actually scored off the Eriksen corner. I think it was headed down to him, and but it was kind of a fun goal because he kind of roofs it off the headed down. Anyway, mm-hmm. it's a fun goal to rewatch, and then everyone was really excited, and then Mbappe was just he was inevitable, Brandon, much like Thanos. He just could not be stopped, and so France is if they haven't clinched, there have to be like very few scenarios where they don't get through out of Group D, and then Australia beats Tunisia. Duke gets the goal, and Australia, who you and I were probably mm-hmm. a little too down on, especially considering who they were playing a team that isn't like highly, you know, much ballyhooed either in Tunisia. And so, good for them for getting the win. They're certainly not out of it either now, right? There's a chance that Australia could go through as well. And certainly, you know, they play, I guess they'll play Denmark, right, in the final match. So if Australia beats Denmark, they'll be on 6 points and they'll go through as well. So what do we know?
That would be so wild. I doubt that. I can't see that happening. I think Denmark is going to feel aggrieved that they don't have any point, like they don't have a win yet in this tournament. So I would fear, but if you're an Australian fan and as a US men supporter, I can identify with this feeling. Like, give me one great result and one great game that we can at least take away from this tournament, and Australia at least have that. But and plus they have hope. Like, to have hope going into the final match of group play is quite fun.
I mean, you could argue that this France game was a great game. You know, really close, competitive. Yep. They didn't win it, but they certainly showed
to draw even with the World Cup title holders in the midst of group play is that's fun. That is absolutely fun as a fan.
Yeah, I think if you're a Denmark fan, you can't come out of that feeling. I'm disappointed, sure, but not. It wasn't like you got waxed, housed, trucked, whatever flecked. ED. What is that ED? It's not a gerund. What? There's a name for all the words that end in ED, Brandon.
But erectile dysfunction?
No, words that end in ED. We're both English majors. One of us should know this, but I can't do it on the spot right now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So stakes are really exciting for that group as well. Tunisia's on 1 point as well as Denmark is on one. So they play against each other in the final match. You'd have to think that France would beat
Tunisia.
I'm getting all my stuff messed up. I had it right before.
We're globetrotting here, Josh.
Yeah, Denmark plays Australia, France plays Tunisia.
Yep.
I would expect France to beat Tunisia, in which case that Denmark-Australia match is for the second spot in Group D. So really interesting there as well. And I think it's just setting up so well, all of these groups. I can't believe I have to work next week, Brandon, because I just want to watch all of these games. All right, so that brings us to Sunday's matches. Once again, we have four matches. These are the group E and F. So the next to last Sunday and Monday are the final two round two matches. Mm-hmm. Feels accelerated, but I guess this is how they always do it, right? I think it's usually this tight. I think it's a little more compressed because of the because they're fitting into the club schedule this year. But in some ways, it's there's so much overload, 8 hours a day. It's like, let's just get through it. Yeah, they're doing it right. Let's get these matches played. And I wonder, I would love to know more about the television scheduling about this. They must have decided the first match of the day is the one where they put the kind of least exciting, right? I mean, it sort of depends on what time zone you're in. Yeah. I mean, I guess Japan playing at 5 a.m. Eastern time is not a bad time for them, right? That's probably Sunday afternoon.
That probably factors into it as well as like what nation, like what time slot factors for particular nations.
Yeah. And Costa Rica gets to play at like 1 a.m. their time. So great for them.
Joel Campbell's family is going to be very tired at work on Monday.
Yeah. So we get to see if Japan can build on what they did in that Germany match. Given what we saw from Costa Rica, honestly, we'd expect Japan to win that match. Yep. If Japan's on six, then Germany is really in trouble going into this Spain-Germany game. They have to win it, really. They can't even a draw is going to put them in some trouble.
We just got through talking through groups, C and D, about how basically virtually every match has stakes.
Yeah.
This is like a round of 16 match, I think, between Germany and Spain tomorrow. There are two elite squads, and Germany is playing for their lives. And Spain is just playing to qualify.
What a game Sunday at 2 p.m.
It's incredible.
If you can only watch one game tomorrow, make it that's going to be an amazing game. And stakes are so high, too.
Yeah, and there's nothing in my mind that thinks that one team or the other is going to walk away with this. I thought Spain was incredible in their first match, but I also thought Germany, despite losing to Japan, looked pretty good. They just caught the raw end of the deal and lost to a better Japan side on the day. I think this match is going to be super fun and tight and down to the wire, and I expect we'll see if I'm thinking. Usually you set a matchup like that and it finishes 1-0. I feel like both teams definitely score in this match, though.
I would think so, too. I'm kind of, I don't want to get in the prediction game because you start making predictions and you start looking like a
chump,
real fool, very chump very quickly. But I agree. I think this is like 3-1. It feels like if you're one way or the other, it's not even clear to me who's going to win this match. I mean, it's part of what makes it so fun. Like you said, it feels like a real elimination game, which for Germany it kind of is. And then again, the stakes are pretty easy for Japan. Win and you're almost certainly through to the next group stage. So this is it's an interesting thing. This is what happens sometimes when you have a team in the group that really just is going to struggle to get even a single point out of that group because it makes all the other games so much more important because you can kind of bank on everyone else getting 3 points from that match, right? It's a kind of top heavy, well, in theory, it was a top heavy group with Spain and Germany, but because Japan won that match, now they're sort of very much in the driver's seat. And this is why it's a cup, right? This is why it's not a like 38, it's like Man City is almost always going to win over 38 weeks because of their superior resources. But
are you saying if Spain wins the World Cup, it's going to be like when Crash won the Academy Award? Is that what you're telling me?
I would say that'd be more like if Japan wins the World Cup. I think that. And then the other match is I am really very, very curious. There's another match on Sunday that I'm really curious about, which is Croatia-Canada. And I thought that Canada looked really good in the Belgium match. Came away with nothing from it, unfortunately. And they play a Croatia team that is only on 1 point themselves, have this kind of aging veteran roster. The theme again and again is you and I talking about age on this World Cup minute. I have no idea why.
Getting too old for this.
Getting too old, who knows? Yeah, but they have. I mean, Luka Modric is like our age, so it really.
Yeah, I was gonna say, God forbid people start talking about our age versus the average age of podcasters.
Exactly. So, I would love to see. I will. Even though I like this Croatia team, I will be unabashedly pulling for Canada in this match. Yeah. I really thought they performed extremely well in the match against Belgium and just really kind of, I don't know, bad luck, or maybe they played a little tight when they were in front of goal. I mean, this is the best team they probably ever had. And so they were probably flew over their skis a little bit. And I would kind of, honestly, I kind of expect Croatia to win this match, to be honest, just because of how tough they are and how much they've been through. And it's just, this team knows how to win, right? This is a World Cup finalist team. So it's
either they use that experience to take advantage of Canada and just crack the safe, or they are over the hill and Canada can just run in there. Yeah. And I also am rooting for the Canada narrative writ large. We talked about this when Canada lost to Belgium, where they, even though they have been in one other World Cup, they failed to land a single point in group play. So I would love, I want justice for Alphonso Davies, who's a great player. I'd love to see him get a retribution for that missed pen. And I'd love to see Canada just make history.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see that too. That's certainly what I'm pulling for. But the fact that we don't, it's not clear to me, my guess is just that Croatia wins, but I think this is actually a match that has a super interesting contrast in terms of the style as well. I think that Canada is going to probably try to do what they did against Belgium, which is to just crash, to use a hockey metaphor, right? Like to sort of crash the glass, right? Mm-hmm. And just like sort of go after them right from the start and try to blitz them. And, the problem was with Belgium, and it almost worked against Belgium, probably should have. And then maybe it wouldn't have mattered if they'd run out of gas a little bit because they could have played a more defensive style. The problem was if you really take it to the other team and you don't score, then you are in a really tricky spot because you still need to score a goal and you waste all your energy in the first half. And they don't really have a ton of team depth. So if Canada doesn't get a goal in the first 45, I'd be a little worried about them getting even a point out of this match. So let's see. It should be really exciting, though. And the other match on Sunday is Belgium-Morocco. And Belgium did not look great, I thought, in the Canada match. They came away with 3 points, but you and I talked about this after they played. It was not a very cohesive performance. Kevin De Bruyne didn't look very impressive. I don't know how much not having Lukaku is affecting things. It's sort of...
So apparently Lukaku's back in training. If that is true to the point where he's fit to start, that is game-altering for Belgium because he is such a presence as a target man and would probably help De Bruyne a bit. Yeah, De Bruyne acknowledged that he didn't have a very good game. He was actually given the man of the match by the World Cup.
Really?
And as he was, in the post-match interviews, he said, "I don't know why I was given this award, probably because of my name." Because
how about Toby Alderweireld? I mean, keeps a clean sheet and threads a pass over 20 players for the opening goal.
I'll tell you what, Josh, I'm with you on that one. Toby, let's have Toby as a guest on the pod. Yeah,
he gets the always cheating man of the match. We should start giving those out, Brandon. Yeah. Maybe we'll start doing that for the elimination games, and we'll send them a always cheating mug or something like that. Give me Kevin De Bruyne's home address. let's see what Belgium can do in that match. And Morocco didn't play that bad in their opening match either. And so I think this is another, this is just a fun, it's a fun day. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to all of the games tomorrow. It's a great weekend slate. Today's were too, honestly. They were all, it's been a fun World Cup. I'm enjoying myself. I am experiencing, I think the feeling is happiness, Brandon. You'll have to vouch for me on this. I'm not sure what I'm feeling right now in my heart, but my heart feels light and that feels good.
You're feeling something. I agree with you that this tournament is succeeding despite itself. Like there are so many grievances to have with Qatar and the tournament. We've touched upon that many times, but despite all of that, I couldn't agree more. The players, the team staffs, the managers have all shown up with the intention of giving us some great football, and thank you. We are grateful for that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And obviously, we are, the rainbow lace. I mean, it's just terrible. I mean, having the World Cup in a country that's anti-gay and anti-women is just on its face an absolutely disastrous thing to do. And we really, I think it's terrible. But that commentary is being made by a lot of people who are more informed and more intelligent on this issue than us. And so we're trying to, I wouldn't even necessarily say stay in our lane, but just kind of provide a more games-based approach to this podcast, right? Like, who just played, who's playing tomorrow. Keep it light, and then please seek out some of the other commentary, because there's some really great stuff out there.
Sure. Well, yeah, it's like casting your vote as a way of saying nobody wants this, not even the plebs like us, Josh. Nobody wants this Qatar crap. So
that's true. Nobody. Yeah, it's not like there's like a whole host of countries out there that are thrilled that it's there. You know, it's just the people who got bribed, right, to give them the World Cup. So anyway, we slipped a little real world talk in there, Brandon, but I think that's appropriate every now and then. Yeah. So really looking forward to tomorrow's games, and then Tuesday, Brandon, that match just gets closer and closer. Super excited.
Absolutely, the butterflies are swirling. They're starting to swirl.
Can't wait. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we will talk to you soon. Bye.